So this afternoon I'm going to talk to you about this question of can manipulation of some specific urine constituents in ruminant animals reduce nitrous oxide emissions. And before I get going, I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors on this, particularly Dominika Kroll, who's not here today, the first author. So just to set some background to this, global ruminant animal numbers have been on the rise, and potentially they will continue to rise. And many of these animals, particularly in temperate climates, are out at grass where they're grazing, and they're depositing urine out on pasture in a haphazard manner. So how do we sort of manage this this challenge of urine deposit out at pasture? So in these pasture systems, the nitrogen taken in is returned to the pasture through urine and through dung, and up to 90% of the ingested nitrogen can actually be returned out again. And this can then be a concern for nitrogen loss pathways, including nitrous oxide emissions. And over 40% of nitrous oxide emissions from pasture paddock and range are attributable to this input, to these inputs. It's also important, sort of on global perspective, about 15% of agricultural greenhouse gas emissions in this subsector attributable to excreta left on pasture. So this issue of dealing with this out of pasture is a significant issue. For us here in Ireland, just to kind of give you a little bit of perspective where we are, we're out here on the western edge of Europe, and our climate is such that it's favourable for good levels of grass growth, and consequently our dairy and beef industries are based on grazed grass. And we have this in common with other regions, including New Zealand, for instance. In terms of national emissions of greenhouse gases, agriculture makes a large contribution percentage-wise to national emission, about a third of our emissions. Greenhouse gas emissions coming from agriculture. And if you contrast this with here in the US, for instance, that's only about 10%, which is similar to the average for European countries. So in Ireland's case, we have this high percentage of emissions coming from greenhouse gases, and we've committed to reduce those emissions by 20% by 2020. And this is not just against the backdrop of static production, but actual growing production. We have national targets to increase production, which are sort of set forth in this FoodWise 2025 report. So effectively what we're trying to do in the group is to sort of, in the overall scheme of things, help us to reduce nitrous oxide or greenhouse gas emissions, but allow production to continue to increase. So to this question of the urine patch challenge, and the specific components that we looked at were hippuric and benzoic acid. And why would we have been interested in these? Well, this work, first off, is part of a much larger project, but hippuric and benzoic acid, or hippuric acid, is naturally occurring in ruminant animals. Benzoic acid is a breakdown product of hippuric acid, which has previously been used in food preservation. And laboratory studies have shown them to be promising in terms of mitigating urine-derived N2O emissions. So as I mentioned, hippuric acid, one of its breakdown products is benzoic acid. So these are why we looked at these two constituents. So can it provide a solution for us out in the field, where it's quite tricky to have targeted approaches which address urine patches? Some previous work was done where they looked at this in the field. However, the results were inconclusive just because the conditions weren't favorable for N2O loss. And I suppose this is one of the challenges that we deal with in field work, is that we apply a treatment and then are the conditions subsequent to that conducive to actually testing our hypothesis for difference between treatments. So in the present study, we did an in-situ evaluation of the effects of hippuric and benzoic acid on N2O emissions, and we chose the timing of the experiment specifically to try and coincide with conditions that would be conducive to high or or high nitrous oxide fluxes, or at least levels that we might be able to detect treatment differences. The specific objectives were to evaluate the N2 abatement potential of incremental increases in hippuric acid and an increase in benzoic acid concentration in urine. The experimental design was a randomized complete block with 5 treatments and 6 replications, six replicates. 2 liters of urine was applied uniformly within 1.6 meter squared chamber basis on the 14th of October, which is our autumn. And the treatments were a control and urine just collected from the cows, and urine that was that had a naturally high hippuric acid concentration, urine with an artificially high hippuric acid concentration, and urine with both artificially high benzoic and with artificially high benzoic acid. So these were our experimental treatments. The response variables that we measured were nitrous oxide emissions, obviously, and we tracked mineral nitrogen over time, and we also collected ancillary environmental data, and this is just a picture of Dominica out in the field taking some of the measurements. Okay, so to sort of go into the results side of the presentation, this is some of the mineral nitrogen results. So if you look to the top here, this is soil ammonium levels, and when we applied all of the urine treatments, not surprisingly, soil ammonium levels increased, and these declined over time as that ammonium oxidized, and that was corresponded to an increasing soil nitrate pool over time. And by the end of the experiment, or by the end of the measurement period, soil ammonium levels and soil nitrate levels for the treatments were not different to the control, not significantly different to the control. So I mentioned that we targeted the application date to try and capture a period that we would have potentially high losses of nitrous oxide. So this red line here just indicates the water-filled pore space during the period of the experiment, and that was in the range 60 to 80% throughout the duration of the experiment. So to look to some of the nitrous oxide results, so if you look here on the y-axis, this is the daily nitrous oxide flux. It's in grams per hectare per day. And across the x-axis is the days that we measured following treatment application. So one of the first things to sort of draw your attention to is that for all the urine treatments, we saw this initial spike or peak in nitrous oxide emissions. And this was for a measurement that we took on the day of urine application. So we applied urine in the mid-morning, and as soon as we had the treatments on, we came back and we actually sampled and we detected this peak in emissions on that actual day of application. And I think this is quite important because it's not universally done, but you can see that it's quite a strong pulse coming here. This returned down to lower levels shortly after, and we see the secondary peak here. But very little difference between the different treatments. And this is sort of captured or summarized by the cumulative nitrous oxide emissions for the different treatments. Mean comparisons by F-protected LSD test, which is a liberal test. And so we could find, even using this more liberal test, no significant difference in the cumulative nitrous oxide emissions between the different treatments. So I suppose, although this looked to be promising in the lab, in our field study under denitrifying conditions, we didn't observe an effect. But this work has been published this year, and I suppose it just kind of underlines the importance of getting results out there into the literature that don't necessarily see a positive result, so we can kind of move on from some of these options and sort of pursue other options that might be beneficial. So just to conclude, neither hippuric or benzoic acid affect nitrous oxide emissions in situ. That was the sort of conclusion from the work that we did. The emission factors over the experimental period that we measured for, which was just under 70 days, were in the region of 0.9 to 1.3%, and that is below the value of 2% that's used as the urine default emission factor by IPCC. And this issue of nitrous oxide fluxes immediately post urine application could be quite an important one. Previous researchers have also noted this in other papers, but it may be possibly due to stimulation of loss from native mineral nitrogen due to that input of a readily available carbon source. But in either case, it actually represented 13 to 26% of the total flux that we measured, and it sort of demonstrates that need to conduct measurements on the day of urine application when we're dealing with trying to capture nitrous oxide emissions from urine. So at this point, I'd just like to thank you for your attention and to acknowledge the funding support from the Irish Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine, and also the technical support in the lab and in the field. If anyone has any questions or comments, I'd be happy to respond to them.
Do we have time for questions?
So the question is regarding the chambers or the system that we measure the emission from the urine with. So it's I guess you may be able to see it to some degree in this picture, but so this is a stainless steel enclosure that mates up to a footing that's inserted into the ground, and that footing has a rim that contains a neoprene seal. Yes.
We do a lot of this type of sampling, and we always let the pudding sit over 24 hours before we take a sample.
Yes.
Do you think that kind of putting it in and then taking a sample right away, if that's permanent?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think that the effect of any sort of disturbance is likely to have some impact. I can't kind of say off the top of my head exactly what that is, but an important point about the setup for this experiment is that all the footings would have been installed the previous week from the application of the urine. But I think it is a very important point that is actually done. Yeah. Yes.
Did you install the chambers where the urine pads are, or do you have the chambers where there's no urine pads?
So the question is, if I understand you correctly, I just want to clarify it. So the question is, did we have control patches that had no urine inside in them? Yes.
Do you install those chambers where the urine patches are, or some other?
No, we would have laid out the study as a randomized complete block design, and within each block we would have installed all the chambers in the previous week, and into those chambers we would have put the various urine treatments or no urine for the control. So they're simulated urine patches rather than actually going around and finding urine patches that the cows applied. Does that answer your question?
How many chambers do you have in per block?
How many chambers per block? One chamber per block. Six replicates. Yeah. Per treatment per block.